Now, I also just want to take a minute and just say what a blessing and how much we love the Cornwall campus. Jason and I have the ultimate privilege and honor of leading Life Center. We've got a campus in Kanata, one in Orleans, one here in Cornwall, and then, of course, outreach that happens across out of each one of our campuses. And it is truly a joy and an honor to be with you today. Jason and I just love your campus pastors, Pastors Jeff and Ingrid, so much. And let me tell you, and I know that you know this, and I don't have to tell you this, but Pastors Jeff and Ingrid are two people who love God with their whole hearts, and they are such people of integrity. I mean, behind the scenes and in front of you is exactly the same. They pursue Jesus passionately, and they love you so much, and they want to see you thriving in your relationship with God and becoming more like Jesus, and it's just so beautiful to be able to work alongside them. And Pastor Jason and myself don't get to come to the Cornwall campus very often, but we pray for you often, and we love you so much. And when we do, we love to be here with you in person. So thank you for having me. Thank you for the warm welcome, and I'm excited to dig in today. Well, last week we spoke about effectively stewarding spiritual authority. This week, what we're going to be talking about is identifying a season is as necessary as stepping into the next one. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, how we can identify the seasons that we're in, and what is God asking us to step into in the new season. And we're going to use the life of Joshua and Moses, the transition of leadership that's going to come through the chapter that Tristan read, the verses that Tristan just read, to illustrate this and to glean from some things that they did in this transition that I think will apply to our lives today. And I want to start just by saying to each of you today that when you look around this room, we all come from very different backgrounds. We come with very different set of experiences. We have different ethnicities in the room. We're all navigating very unique circumstances, and yet the God that we are here to meet with wants to meet with you personally exactly where you're at. You don't need to be somewhere else for God to meet with you. You don't need to be someone else for God to meet with you. He wants to meet with you right here, right now, today, even as we sit in church together. Now, I want to read again from the scripture that Tristan just read, Deuteronomy 34, and that's where we're going to start in today's message. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them up to Deuteronomy 34. We're going to read verses 7 to 12. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can just follow along. The scriptures are going to come up on the screen. And so it says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. Now, how many here would love to live to the age of 120 if your vigor was unabated? Like literally the day he died, he was as healthy as he was always. Amen? Can we hold it? Lord, do you see our hands? We would love that. We would absolutely love that. If he did it for Moses, he could do it for us, right? And it says, and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. And then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Oh, Lord, would you fill us with a spirit of wisdom? And it says, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And so the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent to him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all the land, for the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. And so what we see here is that Joshua is not Moses. God will be with Joshua just as he was with Moses, but not in the same way. It says, not face to face. And this may seem like an obvious statement to make. Obviously, Joshua is not Moses. But how often do we find ourselves living out life, comparing ourselves to someone else, wishing that we had what they have, wishing that we had the gifts that they have, wishing that we had the life that they had, wishing that we had the friends that they had? How often do we find ourselves comparing to someone else? Now, but Joshua is exactly the person that God wants to use for the plans and the purposes that he has set out for him. He's got a set of plans for him to step into, and he is not Moses, and God knows this, and God equally wants to use Joshua, but differently, okay? And it's important for us to remember that. God wants to use each of us in this room differently. And so there's a new season for Joshua and the children of Israel that is upon them. And identifying a new season is as necessary as stepping into one. And so what do we want to identify? Well, we want to identify the specific promises of God. What has God said that he's going to do? Number two, the step of obedience that God is asking. In every new season that we're called to step into, there's going to be a faith step of obedience that is asked of each of us. And number three is the prior season of preparation. It's important for us to be able to recognize how the season that has just come was preparation for the one that God is setting us up to step into. And so first we see Joshua assisting Moses back in Exodus 33. And then it jumps all the way to Numbers 13. We see that Joshua is leading a chief among men from the growing tribe of Benjamin. And while we know very little about Joshua before Numbers 13, there are some character clues that God is preparing him for something. And just like Joshua, of course, although all of our circumstances are completely different, each one of us is in a season of preparation, of some sort of preparation for what God has for us. This is happening on a grand scale and on a small scale. I mean, in one sense, we're all being prepared for eternity, right? Right here, we live in the here and now, but one day we will go to be with Jesus, where every promise that is in this word will come to fulfillment. Every plan that God has for us will come to fulfillment, where there will be no more sorrow or crying or pain, where we will step into a new season. And this is part of our preparation for eternity, to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. But Paul even describes it like this. He says that the suffering of this world is not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed to us. And I know that some of you are suffering in your circumstance. I know that some of you are going through unimaginable things, and it feels like, God, where are you? How am I going to get through this? But Paul describes it that the suffering that we experience here on earth is not even worth comparing to the glory that is to come. There is hope, my friends. There is hope. But how we live matters. Our character matters. How we love others, how we treat them, how we steward what God has placed in our hands matters. And this is where our character is developed. And this is where we see God at work in Joshua's story. You know, some of us, it takes longer than others for our character to be developed. And listen, I know that all too well. Sometimes we spend many, many years going around the same mountain again and again and again. And we've just come through months and months and months going through Genesis to Deuteronomy. We're going to finish the book of Deuteronomy this week. Praise the Lord. We're through the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible. But what did we see? We saw the children of Israel were a stubborn people, and they took an 11-day journey and went on it for 40 years. How many can relate? How many can relate? Like, wow, I should know this by now, but we don't. And we go around the mountain again and again. And so there are character clues that show up at all stages of this journey. And what I mean by that is our character is tested in steps, in stewardship, and in standing. And if you're taking notes today, you can write those three words down. In steps, in stewardship, and in standing. So let's talk about steps for a minute. So Joshua is learning how to step towards the presence of God. God can only meet you exactly where you're at. God's presence actually lives in the present. It's not in the future. It's not in the past. God's presence meets us in the present. And so you don't have to be somewhere else. You don't have to strive or work or get it together. You don't have to be in a different place. God wants to meet you. And God is asking for us to take a step towards him, towards his presence, right in the present moment. And I want you to think about it for a second. I want you to think about where you're at right now, the decisions you're making, the choices that you have before you. And are you stepping towards or away from the presence of God? I just want you to think about that for a moment. Are you stepping towards or away from the presence of God? And you can reflect on this and ask yourself this in any decision you make, any choice you make. You can say, if I do this, am I stepping towards or away from the presence of God? Excuse me. The Lord has been actually talking to me about something, and it's in regard to my time, how I spend my time. I felt like I was just watching too much TV. I was kind of wasting time watching TV. My daily routine was kind of getting into this rut where once I was kind of done everything at the end of the day and my work was done and I was done what I needed to do at home and I was kind of tired, you know, like at that when you kind of feel done and I didn't really want to read and I didn't really want to produce more. And so I would sit down on the couch and I would put the TV on. And I don't really like TV that much. It just doesn't really interest me that much. And so I found myself watching TV, but bored. Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of like it's on and you're like bored and it's like not fulfilling anything. And I felt the Lord starting to talk to me about that. But I had gotten myself into this habit that at the end of the day, I put the TV on and I kind of just, you know, zone out. And I didn't know what to replace it with. And so now, if you know me, I'm kind of an extreme person. So typically how I would respond to wanting to make a habit change in my life is I would go very extreme. I'd be like, that's it, guys. We're getting rid of all the TVs in the house. I'm not watching TV ever again. I'm just kind of like that. I kind of like swing into these large extremes. That would normally be how I would do it. And then 2 weeks later, I'd be right back into my old habits. I mean, this is just kind of the way. But I felt like God was just inviting me just a little deeper to step into closer to his presence. So at the end of the day, when it was time, this habit kicked in. I'm going to just put the TV on. Instead, I just paused for a minute. And I took time to reflect on the day. I just sat in some solitude, some quietness. And then all of a sudden, that led to prayer. And I began to just pray. So I'd start with some solitude and quietness. And I'd kind of rest in the day. And then I'd start to pray. And then I'd start to pray. The Lord would put things on my heart. And then it would open up my scripture. And then I would start to read. And all of a sudden, this habit began to be replaced with more time with the Lord. That at the end of that was so fulfilling and rest-filled and rejuvenated me and actually filled me up rather than just numbing out to the TV. Now, I still watch TV sometimes. It's not about watching TV or not watching TV. But now it's not a habit. And now I don't feel like I'm wasting hours and hours over the course of a week that are fulfilling, and unprofitable. And I believe with all of my heart that just taking a step towards the presence of God in a simple illustration like that is part of the preparation for what God has for me to step into. It was necessary. All right, let's go back to Exodus 33, and let's see how Joshua postured himself towards the presence of God. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all of the people would rise up, and each would stand at the tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at the tent door. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Wow. Then, when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Remember, God never met with Joshua the way that he met with Moses. But imagine if Joshua got discouraged about this and thought that the only way that God could meet with him was the way that he met with Moses, face to face. But instead of getting frustrated or sad or disappointed or looking at what God did with Moses, he just turned towards the presence of God and just waited. And little did Joshua know, this was part of the preparation that God had for what he would step into. He didn't know that he was going to be the next leader. He didn't know what God was preparing him for. But as he began to step towards the presence of God, God began to prepare him for the next season that he was to step into. And a question that I have for you and for me today is, how desperate are you for God's presence? Are you stepping towards God's presence? All right, let's talk about stewardship. One incredible step that you can make to correctly identify a season is to list what God has instructed you to steward. And this will be a clue for where God wants to meet you and where God is at work in your life. And you might not think it's like special or fancy, but the question is, are you willing to turn towards the presence of God in the ordinary things of life? You know, so often we dream these big dreams and we want to do these big things for God. But God's asking us today, are you willing to do the small things for me? Are you willing to turn towards me and step towards my presence? That's what he wants to know. So I want you to think about your life right now and the things that God has placed in your life to steward. For me, God was asking me to steward my time. All of us have time. How are we stewarding our time? What responsibilities do you have? Do you work? Do you have a home or an apartment that you take care of? Are you a parent, or do you have a parent? Do you have neighbors? Are you providing for somebody? Is there a hurting friend or family member in your life? Are you stewarding your body well? Are you taking care of your physical body? Are you getting good sleep and drinking enough and eating enough? Are you part of a church community? That's a trick question. I know you are. You're here. How are you stewarding being a part of a church family, the body of Christ? Do you come to church on Sunday thinking, oh God, how do you want to use my life for your glory today? Who can I encourage? Who can I give a hug to? Who can I love? Who can I come and pray for? Are you thinking about that? This is a place that we can steward together, and all of this is a part of how God wants to use your life for his glory. You see, Joshua, alongside Caleb, was a faithful steward, and he was faithful to steward the assignment that God entrusted him to. And let's see how. Remember back in the book of Numbers, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The two went and spied out the land alongside the other 12 spies for 40 days. And Caleb and Joshua bring back a God-centered report to Moses. The scripture's from Numbers 13:1-3, and it goes like this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers, that you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the people of Israel. So, according to the command of the Lord, the assignment was to spy out the land that God was giving to the people of Israel. 10 out of the 12 spies go and see the land, and they lose trust in God's ability to do what God said he was going to do. According to the report, they actually came back and they said, "The land is bad. It's uninhabitable. There are giants there. We're not going to be able to conquer it." And so the people rebelled against God because of this report. The power of influence is at play here. And you can never underestimate the power you have to influence people for the good or for the bad. Part of our stewardship is actually to use our influence to help people to see that God is good all the time. Amen. All the time? God is good. But guess what? It's not because our circumstances say so, because our circumstances don't always say so, do they? It's because his word does. His word says he's good all the time. And that when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And it might not look the way that we think, and it might not play out the way that we'd hope, and our circumstance might not be able to see it, but we can trust something higher than our circumstance, the word of God, that he is good all the time. And our influence is something that we are called to steward. You see, stewarding our assignment requires clarity on what God will do and what he's asked you to do. God said, "Go and spy out the land that I have given you." He didn't say, "Come back and tell me all the obstacles, tell me all the problems that you might encounter there." He said very clearly, "Go spy out the land that I have given you." Now, I want to do a little bit of a practical illustration of kind of what's playing out in this story. Is there anybody here that could use $20? You say, "Today I could use $20. I saw your hand first. So what's your name? Maureen? Yeah. Maureen. Okay. So Maureen, yeah. I would like to give you this $20, okay? But before I do, I just want you to inspect it, okay? Look at it, make sure it's authentic, make sure you feel like it's usable. Is it real? Yeah. Just inspect it seems real? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Now, Maureen, did I give you the $20?
No, you didn't.
No. Okay, but did I say that I was going to give you the $20?
Yes.
Okay. And do you trust that I will give you the $20?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so this is where we get tripped up, okay? So Maureen, I didn't give her the $20. For those of you who couldn't see our interaction back there, she inspected it. She said it's good. She can probably use it. I didn't give it to her yet, but I said I would give it to her, okay? And this is where we get tripped up. This is where God says, "This is what I'm going to do." And then we get in there, and our circumstance does not align with what we believe that God said he's going to do. And so we get discouraged, and we start to doubt. And we start to doubt what God wants to do. And I'm no different, okay? I remember years and years and years ago, probably like 20 years ago, maybe more than 20 years ago, I had it on my heart to start a conference for women. I had a dream to do it. And every time I would think about it and I would dream about it in my own secret place and I would journal about it and I never told anybody about it. I would get so excited and I would have all these ideas. And I sensed that God wanted me to help women to step out in freedom, to find their purpose in God, to break down the barriers that were holding them back. And I also believed that there was an intergenerational part, that God wanted to use women like me to help a younger generation rise up in the fullness of what God had called them to. And every time I went to go and say this dream out loud, just to tell somebody, I would hear this voice inside my head that would say this very loudly. Who do you think you are? Nobody is going to come, and no one is going to listen to you. And I was like, it was like paralyzing. This voice in my head was absolutely paralyzing. And at the time, we didn't really have like women's ministry or typical, like we didn't have things like that at Life Center historically. And so this was kind of, I know it wasn't a new idea in church, but it was for Life Center to do gender-specific ministry. We didn't have that as part of our ministry philosophy. And it wasn't that this voice or this fear was completely unfounded, because when Jason and I were youth pastors, we actually decided, oh, let's do a youth conference. This will be so great. We brought a speaker in from Europe. We had the worship team ready to go. And it was so great. And we were so excited about this conference. We invited other churches in the city. And I'm not joking when I say no one came. I'm not kidding. It seems like the craziest story now with what God's doing across Life Center, but no one came. Our worship team was there. There was a couple youth leaders there that were part of organizing it. Jason and I were there. The speaker was there. No one came. It was devastating, humiliating. It was a great humbling. Jason and I literally found ourselves lying on the altar, bawling our eyes out, just so devastated. No one came. So it wasn't that these fears were completely unfounded. We tried once and we were not successful. We failed big time. But guess what? That didn't mean that the dream was not from God. God wants to use failure. God uses obstacles. And when he promises something, he is faithful to do it. Absolutely faithful to do it. You know, sometimes the voices in our head are the biggest haters that we've got. And sometimes we've got to step outside of those voices in our head and all of the obstacles and fall back on what God has asked us to do. You see, Joshua with Caleb and Moses and Aaron were faithful to stand in God's assignment. Let's read about it in Numbers 14. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land we passed through to spy it out, it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. So do not fear them. Now watch, okay, as we keep reading. Two things: how the people respond at this moment, and when God specifically is going to show up. Verse 10, then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. How crazy, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. You see, as an assistant, Joshua learned to step towards the presence of the Lord. As a spy, he was learning to steward God's assignment. And as a young leader, now he's learning to stand in God's assignment, even when it's unpopular. God is growing Joshua's character while serving Moses. And I promise you that each one of us has been given opportunities to step towards the presence of God, to steward both something or someone that God has placed in our hands, and to stand in the truth of God's word, even if it's unpopular. If God says that he's going to do something, he will never fail on his promises. And if God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And so, Maureen, here is the $20 that I promised you. Just like I said that I was going to give it to you, but even more than my word, God's good on his word because he is good all the time and all the time. There you go. In the life of Joshua, this leads us back to Deuteronomy 31, where we see Joshua in this decisive moment. So we're going to read chapter 31, verses 14 to 15 and 23. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach where you must die. Call Joshua, present yourselves in the tent of meeting that I may commission him." And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." For Joshua, the season of preparation is over, and now a new season of trusting God as a new leader is upon him. And God sends preparation seasons with very specific faith challenges. Now, where was Joshua's faith challenge? Well, we can go all the way back to Numbers chapter 20. Remember when Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it? Due to that disobedience, God disqualified Moses from entering into the promised land, but their failure was not the time for Joshua to seize leadership because timing matters to God. And so the faith check that Joshua passes is whether you will receive what God gives you or will you take what you think is yours. Now, Maureen and I had an interaction over $20. And imagine if she ran from her seat up here and grabbed it right out of my pocket. We would have all been like, "Wow, that was really aggressive and really inappropriate. But is it really? I said it was hers. I said I would give it to her." There's one argument that she could make to say, "Well, it was mine. You gave it to me." But the timing matters, doesn't it? Because the timing is also building our trust in God, our trust in believing what he says he's going to do. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise up. Go over to Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them, to the people of Israel." Now. Now is the time. Joshua's no longer in a season of preparation. He's in a new season of stewarding authority. And he's not in a new season of his own doing, but it was God's timing in the new season. And now he's got to learn to keep taking steps towards the presence of God and stewarding what God has placed in his hand and standing even when it's hard. And for some of you today, I want to speak Joshua 1:9 over you, because some of you know that God has asked you to do something and you're afraid, like I was. And I want to speak this over you and speak this into your spirit today. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I believe that all of us today are in different stages of this journey that God's got us on. And he wants us to be able to identify sort of where we believe that we are. You know, some of you here today haven't even really begun the journey because you haven't given your life to Christ yet. And you can do that today. You can simply say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to start a journey of faith. I want to begin to step towards your presence. I want to be with you and be in relationship with you. And for others of you today, you have made a decision to follow Jesus, but it's kind of stopped there. You don't believe that God wants to use your life for his glory. You don't believe that you have any special gifts to offer. You don't know how God wants to use you. And I believe today God wants to help you to get unstuck so you can see that he wants to meet you right where you are at. Some of you have a dream, but you're caught in the comparison trap. You actually think that maybe God is holding out on you, or he hasn't given you what you need, the resources you need to be able to see this dream through, and you're frustrated and you're discouraged. I'm telling you, comparison will move you away from the presence of God every single time. And I believe that God wants to reveal himself to you as provider. If he has placed a dream on your heart, he will provide what is needed to sustain that dream. Some of you are like me and you have a dream, but you are terrified to step into it. There are voices in your head that are holding you back. And maybe you, like me, have experienced some failure. Maybe you tried before and it didn't work, and you're scared and you don't want to take another step. Some of you, you believe you're called to something, but you're struggling with stewardship or timing. You want it now and you want it your way. But God says, wait. God says, not like this. And you have to trust him. You have to wait on him. And you have to see what it is that he wants to do. And yet there's a whole other group of us here today who have got dreams on our hearts, but God has said that dream is actually not for you. It's for you to pave the way for the next generation. Like Moses, he never got to enter the promised land. But if you're like me and you imagine that my life could possibly make a difference for the next generation of believers coming behind me, then even if I don't get to see the fullness of the dreams on my heart, it's worth it. It's worth it because we're living in an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that's not finite to just right now, to what I want and what I need right in the now. But some of you, God has called you to pave the way for another generation to be able to step into the dreams and the promises that you know that God has placed in your heart. And there's a laying down in that. And so his word to you, no matter where you find yourself today, is be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we want to pray for you today. And we want to allow God to unstuck you from where you are stuck in taking steps towards the presence of God. And I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward, because just like Moses laid hands on Joshua and a spirit of wisdom came upon him, so too today we want to lay hands on you. If you resonate with any of this and you want to receive prayer today, we want to lay hands on you and believe for a spirit of wisdom so that you can see where God is already at work in your story. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for every person that is here today. And Lord God, I thank you for the unique set of circumstances that you are working in and through their lives. And Lord Jesus, would you help to elevate our eyes and elevate our spirit to be able to see where you're at work in our story. Lord God, as a community, we come before you and we repent for where we have been bad stewards of what you've placed in our hands. You've given us so much to care for and to be responsible for. Help us to be more like you and be able to be loving and kind and show the fruit of the Spirit in the areas that you've called us to and in the places you've called us to steward. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would speak and that you would confirm your word and your promises. Lord, may we never fall or may we never falter. May we never lose hope or may we never doubt that your promises are true, that they're good and that they're right, and that you are for us. Lord, help us to keep taking courageous steps, to step towards your presence, to be with you. Because you have promised to be with us. Build our faith, I pray, in this house. And I just pray for a release of dreams. I pray for a release of purpose. I pray for a release of the plans that you have for us. Lord, your word says that you go before us and you prepare the good works that we're to walk in. And so, Jesus, we ask that you would do that both individually and for us as a collective body of Christ. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your great love for us. We receive afresh a baptism in your love, and we step into and towards your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. And as we close today, I want to just remind you that our Bible reading for this week is Deuteronomy 33 to Joshua 7. And you are most welcome to join us Monday to Thursday in Heart Strong. We meet daily to unpack these chapters in a Bible study at 6 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night. You can go to lifecenter.org to sign up for that. We would love for you to be a part of that. Remember, tomorrow is Remembrance Day, so I just encourage you to just take a moment in your time with the Lord tomorrow to reflect and to remember. And our prayer team is here and available to lay hands on you and pray for you. If anything from the message today resonated and you would like prayer, please don't leave without receiving prayer. It was an honor and a joy to be with you today. God bless you, and we'll see you back next Sunday.